Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Okay. So, as you see here, you know, we are talking about documenting language foods. Well, this is kind of a question you might have at the very beginning stage of working with some language. Maybe we have the same question starting with the language, target language in Korea. As you see here, many persons are involved in our projects, you know, for today's presentation. So Sejong and I work the workflow, okay? The first part, I'll make a presentation, then followed by the Sejong's presentations. So then shall we start then? Then first of all, I talk about the organization. We organized in two parts. In first part, we will consider the difference between dialects and a language, and why that difference matters for revitalization projects. In the second part, we will illustrate this point further with the help of a case study involving Jeju, the traditional language of Korea's Jeju Island. Then first part, we talk about language and dialect. Then, because language is constantly changing, and because it changes in different ways in different places, varieties of speech that started out as dialects of the same language can eventually become distinct languages in their own right. To take an obvious example, English, German, and Norwegian were at one point all dialects of Germanic. Now they are separate languages. But matters are not always so clear. For example, there has been considerable debate over whether Scots, the variety of speech used in Scottish Lowlands, should be considered a dialect of English or a separate language. Then why it matters? The distinction between language and dialect can have consequences beyond the linguistics. So for one thing, the classification of a variety of speech as a non-standard dialect of another language can trigger negative attitudes both among each one's speakers and among speakers of the standard dialect. In addition, funding and enthusiasm for preserving unendangered dialects is likely to be lower than for preserving a language. Even among linguists, priority is often given to the conservation and revitalization of languages over dialects. Then it is important to ask, how can we decide whether a particular variety of speech is a dialect or a language? Traditionally, there are two approaches to this question. The first one is political approach. The speech of a bigger or more powerful community is a language. The speech of a smaller or less influential group is a dialect. This brings to mind the famous Max Weinrich story, which turns on the tongue-in-cheek suggestion that a language could be defined as a dialect with an army and a navy. However, modern linguistics rejects the political definition of languagehood, insisting that the distinction between dialects and language should be based on linguistic considerations. According to the linguistic approach, the way to distinguish between dialects and languages is to examine their mutual intelligibility. That is, can speakers from one place understand people from another? In other words, if speakers from two different places can understand each other, they speak dialects or varieties of the same language. On the other hand, if they cannot understand each other, they speak different languages. For example, the speech of Washington, D.C. and the speech of London are mutually intelligible, so they are dialects of the same language, English. On the other hand, the speech of Paris and the speech of Rome are not mutually intelligible. So they are different languages, the French and Italian. Then how to access intelligibility? Over the years, many different methods and techniques have been used to measure intelligibility. This includes anecdotal reports from linguists and other informed individuals. Second, subjective judgments by speakers familiar with both varieties of speech. Third one is measurements of lexical and structural similarity. Then many different types of intelligibility tests have been used, some focusing on written languages and some on spoken language. Some focusing on words, some focusing on sentences, and some on discourse. When you think about intelligibility in the context of endangered languages, as we are doing here, it seems clear that the most important intelligibility measures should involve the spoken language and focus on discourse. That is because the first endangered languages are typically spoken rather than written. And second, comprehension in the case of language has to extend beyond isolated words or sentences. Okay, part two. From this part, Sejong will talk about our experiments.
Thank you, Sonia. Now let's turn to a case study that helps illustrate both the importance of the dialect language contrast and how one can go about deciding whether two varieties of speech should be considered dialects of the same language or separate languages. Our study involves examining the status of Jeju, which is spoken on Korea's Jeju Island, as you can see, the red dot right there, and then Changnyeong and I we are from Jeju Island. According to a 2010 UNESCO report, Jeju is critically endangered with just 5,000 to 10,000 speakers in a population of approximately 600,000. Fluent speakers are elderly in their 70s and elder. Within Korea, Jeju is widely considered to be a dialect of Korean. Many residents of Jeju Island feel uncomfortable using Jeju in public and are unaware of the importance of preserving it. These attitudes are the product of events and policies dating back 60 years, including the suppression of the language in the education system and its characterization as a vulgar and impolite form of speech. But is Jeju really a dialect of Korean? The only way to answer the question within contemporary linguistics is to apply the criterion of intelligibility and ask whether Jeju is comprehensible to people who speak only Korean. We worked with a total of 40 participants aged between 49 and 60, 10 residents of Seoul, the capital city, whose variety of speech is considered to be the national standard, 10 residents of Busan, which is in the south of the country and has its own special variety of Korean, 10 residents of Yeosu, the closest city on the mainland to Jeju Island and also the home of a distinctive form of speech, 10 residents of Jeju Island. The residents of Jeju Island were the only ones with any fluency in Jeju. Our testing material consisted of a narrative in Jeju, 1 minute and 9 seconds long, describing the series of events at the beginning of the pair story, a commonly used tool for eliciting naturalistic narratives. So here is the video clip. And it's supposed to work, and it's marked. So I'll come back to this one. Mm-hmm. It's a silent film, by the way. So there will be no sound. So this was the beginning part of the whole video clip. So let me go back to my slide now. So two native speakers of Jeju-a described the events in the first part of the video as they watched it. And their descriptions were transcribed and then merged into a single narrative script. And one of the Jeju-a speakers, a female, then read the merged narrative which was recorded. And participants in the intelligibility study listened to the entire narrative without interruption. They did not see the video and therefore had to base their understanding of what happened entirely on the spoken narrative. Here is the first part of what they heard. However, I don't think that will work, this speaker icon here, so I have to go back to the desktop and play it for you. So that was the script read by a female speaker. So the recording was then broken down into five segments, which were played one at a time, and each segment was accompanied by comprehension questions. Here is the English version of the first segment, which consisted of three short sentences. A rooster is crowing in the distance. A man is picking pears by himself. Some pears fall to the ground. Participants were then asked to respond in writing to the following written questions. In the case of the mainland participants, the questions and responses were in Korean. Here are the questions for the first segment of the narrative. Number one, what kind of noise was described at the beginning of the story? Number two, how many people appear in the story? Number three, what is the man in the story doing? And here is the English version of the second segment. The man comes down from the ladder with the apron full of pears. And here is the comprehension question. What did the man do first? You can answer to yourself. So here are our results. As you can see, there is a huge difference in the ability of the different groups of participants to understand the narrative. The Jeju-a speakers did very well, of course, with a success rate of about 90%. However, the Korean speakers did very poorly, with success rates varying between 5 and 12%. In order to understand the significance of our results for Jejua and Korean, it's important to compare them with the results for other pairs of languages. Unfortunately, studies use different materials and methodologies, so there is no uniform metric for measuring intelligibility. Still, a look at intelligibility estimates from other pairs of languages is suggestive. Those estimates seem to indicate that Korean and Jejua are about as different from each other as Russian and Polish are, and more different than Spanish and Italian, which everyone agrees are different languages. In sum, here is our conclusion. Jejua is not comprehensible to speakers of Korean any more than Russian is comprehensible to speakers of Polish. Jejua is therefore not a dialect of Korean. It is a distinct language. If this is right, then the status of Jejua in Korea changes dramatically. It is no longer an inferior dialect of Korean, rather it is a sister of the national language. Indeed, it may well be the only living relative of Korean, which is now no longer an isolate. Together, they make up a small language family standing among the world's other 7,000 languages. Thank you.
Well, there is some the final remarks on the projects. Still, we are trying to finalizing the whole thing here. The first from our experiments, our finding will help the residents of Jeju Island realize that Jeju is an independent language. We can now explain to them that Jeju is different from Korean for the same reason that French is different from Spanish. It is a separate language, not a substandard variety of Korean. The second one is, hopefully we are finding will change the attitude of people everywhere in Korea, including the mainland and the Jeju Island. We want everyone to realize that Jeju is just as much a part of the country's history and cultural heritage as is Korean. The final is third one, there are possible political implications. Korea is signatory to 2003 UN Convention for Safeguarding of Intangible Cultural Heritage. Convention identifies language as a vehicle for a community intangible cultural heritage and calls for its preservation, protection, promotion, enhancement, and transmission. It's our hope that recognition of Jeju a language each one writes will make it easier to persuade the people, the provincial and national governments to support efforts to preserve and revitalize it in accordance with the UN Convention. Okay, thank you for listening.
Any questions?
Question.
Okay. What were your mainland Korean speakers' responses to hearing this language? How did they respond? Were they confused? Were they baffled? Because it kind of sounds Korean-ish, right? The intonation is Korean-ish, and you can recognize a couple of words here and there. Did you ask them what they felt about what they were hearing?
Well, I've asked some Korean in the audience in how do you feel about hearing the sound. You know. Professor Lee, could you briefly mention about your feeling?
I don't have anything emotional about this, but what I thought was, because I knew the context, it was somehow easier for me to understand what was going on, and maybe it's slightly different from what he was asking, and I was just wondering whether the if the speakers, if there was a control group where they knew the story somehow, what was going on, instead of watching the video, whether they had higher comprehensibility in terms of the thing. Because I knew that when I heard the band in the story, they were talking about the band basically, and also some other words was different phonologically because of probably the different phonological system, but I was able to pick out more words. But if I had not known what they were talking about, I would probably have completely lost. And I was thinking, I was just wondering whether that's something that you might want to consider in the future for like establishing more of this feature interpretability. Would context actually matter when you give change words to speakers of all speakers who kind of know what they're talking about, will they still be not able to understand at all what's going on or have such a low comprehensibility? Because yeah, I can, it sounded great to me, and I don't know what, going back to the story, I didn't feel like what something Professor Yang told me, that some people apparently thought Jeju-o is very competitive, like fighting kind of sound. I somehow I didn't feel that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comments. You know, personally, I just briefly make a comments, you know, on to the question. When I did the experiments with the people at the mainland, Yeosu and Busan areas, then they are, when I try to play the whole script the first time, you know, they really don't understand what this story is about. Then I try to divide into the several segments. Then, you know, things are totally the same. Same thing happens, you know, they are sometimes complaining, why do I have to understand this kind of a story? You know, then, you know, this kind of what I got, you know, from the participants.
I'll add to the Chang Yong's answer. Context definitely helps. Like when you watch something, it's easier to understand. But we wanted to compare with, you know, what happened to Jeju speakers. According to the result of our study, Jeju speakers, they did not see the video clip, or they had no idea what was happening, but they understood by just listening to it, and then they showed about 90% of correct rate. However, speakers from the mainland who only speak the Korean language, they did really poorly, only 5 to 12% of correct rates. So it tells a lot about this language, I guess. Difference.
The traditional stuff like the song and dance or something like that, right? Well, I am not familiar with the dancing, but the song, definitely there is some, you know, Jeju, the song done in Jeju. Also, shamanistic rites or shamanistic practices are done in Jeju. It will really, you know, I feel like I'm already fluent in Jeju myself. But you know, when I first time here, the shamanistic rites, it really, sometimes I lost in somewhere. It really, really hard to understand sometimes. Because, you know, it's a little bit oldish words plus some the rhythmic patterns. You know, that is my experience.
Just one of cultural differences I found fascinated by Jeju culture is that in the mainland, when they have wedding ceremony, they only have 1 day ceremony. But we used to have like 3 day, you know, celebration. Like first you have a party at you know, the bride's place, next groom's place, and on the wedding day, it's like extravagant, right? There's just something different I can tell right now.
Or comprehend the Gyeongsang dialect much higher, and I think it will strengthen your argument that Chinese is in fact more like a language rather than a dialect. And the same thing for the Zhonghua dialect, if you record the diaspora and then make other people hear, and other groups somehow have a higher comprehensibility.
Okay, thank you for coming. Okay.
Yes.
Can you say something about the next step of documenting the language by asking for a code from ISO 639?
Language.
Language
code?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, we just got it. Yeah, we applied here. Dr. O'Grady nicely applied for the language code, and then we finally got it. And then if you're interested, we have the poster session there, and then it talks about it there. Thank you.
Well, I after my presentation, I personally talked to the Professor John about the why Seoul people respond a little bit highly. I mean, it's a little bit you try to select participants. We try to select each different groups like educated person, the store worker, something like that. But when I work with the participants from Seoul, more than half participants working at the school, especially the teaching Korean language. Maybe there is some reasons. Maybe they respond more positively, or their response rate a little bit high. I think. In terms of the intonation, I'm not that good. But anyway, I'd like to listen to your comments on that. Thank you.
I also actually have a question. Seoul speakers showed a little bit better correct rate in answering to those questions, about 12%, and the people from Gyeongsang province, they showed about 5% correct rate. However, does 12% in a correct rate means, does that mean Seoul people have a close intonation, like a Jeju, can it be said? Oh, okay. So that's something we should look for as well. Okay, thank you.
I think some vocabulary shared the vocabulary in Seoul dialect and our full version of Korean and visual has the same origin from Korean. And some other vocabularies, they are like independent vocabularies. So do you know the ratio of shared vocabulary?
But there's a really good question. Unfortunately, there is no statistical study or data to compare the ratio, the ratio of similarity between Korean and Jeju. But what we did is we did some small experiments based on the Swadesh list, then 250 words. Then we found there are about 25 to 30% similarity between Jeju and the Korean, but that is kind of what we found yet. But well, there is another the field we have to get into later. Thank you.
At the beginning of your talk, you said something about language attitudes, about how Jeju was held in low esteem. Very often, intelligibility is it's just at least two components, the linguistic side, the social linguistic side. And I wondered if you had any feel for that. Is the lack of intelligibility perhaps due to these attitudes, or just the fact that this variety is highly divergent from standard Korean? Any feel for that?
You mean the intelligibility?
How much of it is attributable to pure linguistic factors?
사람들은 한국어 잘 하는데 한국
okay.
사람들은 잘 못 알아들으니까.
Well, I don't know. How do I answer to this kind of questions? Generally, you know, I start to answer your question in general. Attitude in Jeju, the people using the Jeju. Well, it's a, just think about, it's a very, I found this very similar to the Hawaiian situation. Hawaiian is a, you know, English invasion and separation for quite a time. Then again, you know, 1980, then I try to, you know, using in the public domains, right? Then in Jeju's case, it's also very, went through the similar, you know, past, like, you know, widespread and after release from Japanese colonization around the 1950s. So then after that time, you know, standard Korean education spread out whole Korea. Then 1960s and 70s, I went to the, you know, schooling. Then I have kind of experience, you know, it's a bit suppressed by the education and all things. Then through going through such periods, you know, then we have feeling very, you know, negative to our, you know, language, and using my own language at home or in public, it's not good at it, good things. You know, this my I trained. Then when I doing asking some kind of a question to the local people, they are, you know, the using, still using the Jeju in public domain, it's a still very, you know, the negative. Well, the thing is that to revitalize this kind of language, the first thing you have to do is to, you know, change some, you know, local people's attitude over the whole peoples in the in Korea, I think. Hopefully, you know, this is help your understanding.
Thank you.